Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. From the AV Club TV show, we have John Tatey, along with comedian Michael Pelisak. And with Halloween right around the corner, we welcome on our guests from the 13th floor Chicago, Karen Craig and Serena Gonzalez. Keeping with our theme of Halloween, we have Rusty Thrall, the lead bartender from the Conrad Chicago. And don't forget to get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good at the end of the show. And now, live from the WGN Radio Studios here in Chicago, Illinois, she ain't afraid of no ghost, Patty Vasquez.
Is it Tuesday night already? I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday night. You know how I know it's Tuesday night? Because the AV Club's John Tatey is here tonight. So good to see you. Are you getting any sleep? Proud papa of two under two? Two under two?
Two under two. Yeah. No, I'm not.
You're not sleeping at all?
No. So I figured why not come be on the radio?
I know. It's how, you know. Do you get up in the middle of the night for any of the feedings?
I don't. With Leo, I did. With Eve, our new baby, I don't as much because I'm like, I'm Mr. Leo right now, right? Like, he's
primary.
I've got the rambunctious 2-year-old.
Sure.
Yeah.
So plus,
I'm
you
point man for him.
You have TV, so you want to make sure you get some rest so that
I can't have those bags under my
you
eyes,
can't
Patty.
Have those bags under your eyes.
I'm trying to fix this chair. Let's talk to Michael for a second.
Oh, I will talk to Michael Pelisak for a moment. Michael Pelisak is in town because he's performing at Zany's all the way through Sunday.
Yeah.
Zany's on Wells.
Zany's in Old Town, yeah.
One of my favorite comics, someone who I've had the pleasure of watching from. He was a wee pup of a stand-up comic.
You're one of mine.
All right, then.
I think my first night at Zany's, you were there.
I think we were at Joe's on Weed Street.
Yes.
Even before
that's
that.
Probably where we first met. Yeah.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
And we were actually on television together.
Yeah.
We were on the very funny show on TBS.
On Christmas Day.
Yes, it did air on Christmas Day. Isn't it funny? Do you ever think about this? The fact that they filmed, I believe, 35 of us, and they only aired about half of them.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that do you remember who they cut? Hannibal is one of the ones they
cut a lot of people,
They cut a lot of people.
Yeah.
Huh?
Michael and I made the cut.
You made the cut.
Mulaney got cut, I think.
I could be wrong about that.
Really?
The choices were network television.
You're just tossing names out
there. No, it's true. He's right.
No, he was on there. I don't think he made it.
He's right. He was there, and I remember in the back of the room. So the choices were, we're going to air this, or you can your career will
skyrocket.
Really skyrocket. So the choices, these are the choices that we had.
I think they used that angst to like fuel them to be.
Yeah. What do you mean? What do you
heroes?
Mean, Patty and Michael made it and we didn't?
Yeah.
I remember a time where Hannibal pulled me aside in a bar. He's like, "Man, you need to stop stealing my dreams." I was like, "You're going to be fine." Because we were in like three contests together that I happened to have a lot of people at.
I
just be Hannibal like three times. It's not a big deal.
So, sorry. Hannibal and TJ Miller both used to open for me. And like TJ Miller pulled me aside when he's like, I don't know how you do that. He's like, I mean, you just really know how to own a room and like all this stuff. And I'm like, I got to pay attention to this kid. He's going places. I got to stay in touch with him.
Yeah.
And guys, you know, my back hurts a little, so I don't know if I can pick up all these names you're dropping.
These aren't, but here's the thing. I mean, like, it's not name dropping.
They don't seem like names
to us since they
were. I'm just dropping heavier ones now by being like, they just seem like friends. Kumail Nanjiani.
I mean, I haven't had a chance to have Lewis Black on the show yet, but I mean, we can call him if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to be his opening act from 1999 until the last time I did was 2004. So that's not too bad. Not bad of a run. Yeah. And then
Wouldn't
he had enough money.
It would be fun to call Lewis Black up one night.
We should
arrange that.
We used to. Funny, this should come up. Esmeralda, do you know who I introduced myself to do tonight at a function in the city? I introduced myself to the Honorable Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, how'd that go?
I said, "Hi, I'm Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio." He smiled, he nodded, and he said, "Yes, you are." And he turned around and walked away.
You should be like, "That sound familiar?" No?
You recognize your voice?
No? Did not? Oh, no? Nothing? All right. Just thought I'd say hello, sir. I think there's nothing else I can do. Going to exist.
And yeah.
It was funny because there were people along a wall who were watching. They thought I was trying to get away from him, and I actually was going to a mirror to check my bangs, because if anyone's taking a selfie with me, you know that I have to check my bangs.
She's gotta
I did.
Get perfect.
The doors. We were at the Hilton, and there are doors that are mirrored. So I walked over and I judged my bangs, and then I turned around and introduced myself to him, and everyone was like waiting to see what would happen. So it was.
Did you say comedian or no?
No, I said Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio.
Okay.
Oh,
comedian.
Comedian Patty Vasquez.
Oh, I see your angle.
Funny.
Yeah, I see your angle, Esmeralda. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was laughing though.
No. He didn't seem angry. He just said, "Yes, you are," which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
I think you negotiated that well.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
I also saw President, Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, who also didn't give me a chance to ask her how she's doing today after her soda tax was overturned.
Oh, it was overturned.
It was overturned, yes. Today, a unanimous vote to repeal the soda tax. If anyone is wondering, you can now... Bring back the due. It's not... I don't think it's immediate. I think that there is a little bit of time that
unanimous vote in...
To repeal in the Cook County Board.
Okay.
I would love to see all those people that stocked up for like years when it was cheaper and be like, oh, no, I got all this...
Now, I could have
left this at the fridge.
Oh, Diet man. You're right. And there are people selling them off trucks.
Yeah,
They go to Indiana and they sell them for cheaper here. And then I also met Carlos DeRosa, the alderman who Senator Daniel Biss had picked as his running mate for governor. And I might have raised my voice a little bit with him. He's a pup. He's a youngin. He's 27 or 28. And I may have said that socialists can't win.
Oh,
I'm just saying that. Putting that
you
out
got
there.
Feisty.
It went on from there.
You just met a lot of.
Yeah, I'm just picturing a Bruce Wayne party now. I'm just imagining you're like everyone in Chicago is there, and then like the Joker's going to come up at some point.
There were a lot of people there. There were a lot of people there, and and it was funny because when he took the mic to give a speech, he was yelling at the audience, and I kind of feel like I had something to do with that. Mm. Okay, here's my and Michael, I don't want to drag you into politics, but my point was that, and he was giving me these numbers about millennials and how they have a favorable opinion about socialism, mm-hmm. and I said you can have socialist values. You cannot win as a socialist. I think across the board, there might be a little party here and there. You might be an alderman in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that running as a socialist, a democratic socialist, will get you in an office.
Oh, like for the Democrat Party, but with socialist values?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Have socialist values. Call yourself something else.
Yeah. Like Bernie Sanders was a Democrat.
But he was Bernie Sanders. I don't think that Bernie Sanders was as popular as he was because he was a socialist. I think he was popular because he was Bernie Sanders. Yeah. I don't think that Donald Trump was popular because he says he was a Republican.
No.
I think he was popular because he's Donald Trump. That's...
Yeah, I heard other...
I buy the latter more than the former, I'd say. I think Bernie was... I mean, Bernie was a personality, but I think that there was certainly a substance to what he was saying that resonated with people.
In
a way that Trump had no substance to speak of. I think that's where the comparison...
Substance? Well, and as far as substance goes, you know, all this pie in the sky stuff that Bernie Sanders had, my question was always how, right?
Well, yeah.
In many ways, he was saying...
He's really rich, Patty. Maybe just be out of his own pocket.
No, Bernie. Trump, yeah. But Bernie was like, how, you know?
I mean, was saying that about Trump.
He was saying things that people wanted to hear too, the same way Donald Trump was. That's what I mean. It's not as far as personality,
for sure.
But what they were feeding the electorate. So I may have yelled at a young 28-year-old.
I don't know if it was on purpose, but probably I think.
And his political strategist, by the way, yes.
I think Trump might have said nothing on purpose because people didn't want to hear any. Like he was like, "Oh, these people don't want to hear anything about you, so I'm just not going to say anything." Maybe I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe.
Well, it was funny because he was giving me all these numbers about millennial voters, and I was like, "Baby, don't tell a rock the vote girl what you think you're going to do in the world." We were out voting too. I mean, and then the world changes. Then what are you going to do? I'm telling you about the vocabulary. Because I also believe, and Esmeralda, what do you think about this? And I've been floating this past people. You know that there are 1.5 million women who take hormone management in the country that lost their coverage last week, the possibility of their coverage being rescinded, that employers could keep women who have endometriosis, who bleed heavily when they're menstruating, they will no longer be able to receive that medication. Did you know about that, Es? 1.5 million women.
I did not know that.
Right, because they take hormone management medication, right? And the problem is it's called birth control. Yeah. Stop calling it birth control. It is hormone management medication. Mm. And if you call it that, no one has any business to ask you why you're taking it. Because I'll tell you something right now. If my employer asks me why I'm taking hormone management, I'm going to tell him because otherwise I'm going to bleed through all your office furniture. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the AV Club's John Tatey. He's the host of the AV Club, hosted by John Tatey every Thursday night on Fusion Television, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listening times other places. Mm-hmm. 7 Eastern.
Just check your local listings anywhere. It's good to do from time to time.
It is, you know, get your bearings.
Yeah.
See, get the lay of the land.
Yeah, you need to know your listings.
Figure it all out. Comedian Michael Palasak, who is appearing at the Zanies on Wells through Sunday. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. He's appeared on the Tonight Show, the late night show, a Comedy Central's own half-hour Comedy Central special, all kinds of stuff.
Thanks.
I could do the whole thing. Yeah. Also, TBS is the Very Funny Show.
With Patty Vasquez.
With you, truly. And I asked before we came back on the air whether or not John, whether or not you like haunted houses.
Yeah. And no, I don't really care for them.
Have you been to a haunted house?
Yeah, I guess a couple
times. Lockjaw's
going to have. I got nothing against them.
Yeah.
I got nothing against them, Lockjaw. It's just not a thing I would ever do. Talk to Michael about haunted houses because he loves them.
Well, don't send him over here. Michael, yes, I do like them, but I get very afraid. No!
So in studio with
us. Gosh!
In studios, we have cast members of the 13 Floors. They have two houses. Karen joins us. Karen Craig is the general manager.
Hold on. General manager.
Let me find your microphone. I don't know why. Let me try again.
Oh, God. Assistant general manager.
Yeah. Michael's being attacked over there. Come on closer to your microphone, Karen, while Michael shrieks in horror. So Karen Craig is the assistant general manager of the House of Torment. And you have, in Morton Grove, you have two houses. Side 40,000, I'm a little bit, 40,000 square feet hauntings.
That's right.
So, John, I have been going to haunted houses since I was a little girl. I've always been on the hunt for a haunted house like this one. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, the first one has that ick factor. Wouldn't you say?
Extreme this year.
Extreme. Is this extreme. The best haunted house you think you've ever had the pleasure of participating in?
I do. You absolutely.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this. I've seen 13th Floor productions before. They also have a night, John, where you can carry a laser gun. And so the zombies are equipped with laser sensors, so you can shoot them. Have you already had that night?
No, Zombie Apocalypse Life is still coming up on October 21st and 22nd, and then November 11th and 12th.
21st, look, I'm writing this down, 21st and 22nd.
Laser night.
So you can shoot them. Yeah. You can go
through.
What
is it actually called?
Zombie Apocalypse Live.
Zombie, much better. I mean, Laser Night's good, but Zombie Apocalypse Live is better.
Night's better. Yeah. Zombie Apocalypse Live. So 40,000 square feet in Morton Grove, and you have another one?
We do, in Melrose Park.
Okay, and where do people go for information about tickets and, you know, getting some of the, I know there's video and there are still images of, are they right behind me?
They're right behind you.
Hold on. At a distance. It's fine.
It's all good.
Oh, God. Thank you. So they can go to houseoftormentchicago.com. Mm-hmm. For the calendar, tickets, times, any information that you need.
All right. Okay, so let me try to explain, give my impression of what I saw.
Paint the word picture for
me. The first one is called...
Swarm.
The first one's called Swarm. And it's the military has tried to experiment with bug life and military personnel.
I see.
Injured personnel.
That would explain to regrow limbs. The giant bug we have here.
Yes, that would be. And I believe, is Lockjaw from Nightmare High?
Lockjaw is the scientist that went awry.
Oh, he's the scientist? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you created something horrific. So you go in, and some of the first things you see are like the lab scenes, you know, people who are in the process of becoming part bug, part human, as the, the bug's name?
Metamorphosis? Kafka?
Metamorphosis. Oh, it's a literary haunted house, yeah.
I will take Metamorphosis.
Okay, we're calling it Metamorphosis. You're deeper into the lore than anyone else on the broadcast, Patty.
Here's the thing. It's not just an incredible haunted house when it comes to... And it's not really... Haunted house isn't even the best description for it. Because
I love how much you love this.
I love it. It is the best haunted house I've ever seen. So the first one is bug-like, and a lot of bugs going on. People that are part bug, part human. A town that has been decimated by these creatures who've escaped and been set loose. Huh? You've got coming at you, but also like the scenery, the attention to detail is spectacular, Karen.
Thank you.
Really, really good. There's
Thank you.
There's a point where you feel like you're on an L train. You step up onto a train, and the platform starts moving, and you get off that, and you're in an old lady's house, I think. It smells like old lady house, Karen.
We do.
How did you do that?
I can't tell all secrets.
A lot of thrift store shopping. Stuff that was not cleaned well.
We get them from everywhere, from thrift stores, even garage sales, all year long.
That must be fun.
It is a lot of fun. It really is.
This would be something I would have wanted to do when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wish I had done haunted house. I was in a haunted house one time, Michael. Yeah. And I want to say it was a 13th floor one. It was a while ago. How long has 13th floor been in the area?
Let's see. 4 years now.
Okay.
4 years.
So I think it predates 13th floor. And I was in a haunted house and there was like a ramp and this like ghoul was coming at me, kind of a smaller ghoul, right? And it's coming at me like kind of like gliding toward me and it goes, Patty Vasquez? And I was like, what? I'm like, that is really good. But it was a comic who was freelancing at that haunted house.
Doing a couple minutes as a ghost?
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a quick break here and let's talk more about the haunted house. I want to talk about the actors, the performers, and what goes into making a haunted house for the 13th floor. More after this on 720 WG. And don't forget, go to houseoftorment.com for all the information about these events. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Generally, Michael will play like thematic music for what we're talking about.
I sense that because
you're not so a big fan of haunted houses, I think he decided to sort of balance off the fact that we have ghouls in the studio, John Tatey, with some kind of upbeat music.
Upbeat music.
Yeah, so to sort of...
let me say, it's not a hobby of mine, but we've been very entertained by the performers here during these segments, haven't we?
Yes. We have. And Michael Palasek joins us. Did you ever do any of the like themed events like Fright Fest at Great America or any haunted houses?
In LA they have Knott's Berry Farm. They have Knott's Scary Farm. I heard Universal is really good.
Is it Knott's Scary?
Knott's Scary Farm?
Knott's Scary Farm.
Oh, no, I get it. Okay.
Like Knott.
My dad started taking me to haunted houses when I was a little girl. And there were some really good ones and there were some like church basement ones that were, you see a good one, you can't, like that's just, it's almost ironic and sort of funny.
Yep, it's unforgettable.
Yeah, this was the best I've ever seen. And as I mentioned, the attention to detail through each scene that you walk through, because that's really what it is. The swarm, which is a military experiment gone wrong with insects and military with soldiers, and then Nightmare High, which has zombies and they're trying to collect souls, and it's a lot of fun. That one's a lot of fun. What makes everything are the performers.
Yeah, let me ask you this: how much of this? Because they've Bugman and the Lockjaw.
The scientist who is
The scientist with the laser eye.
Don't refer to them by name
or whatever.
Yeah. We'll turn around.
Yeah. So the two fellas have been in here or the two ghouls have been in here for a while. They've been doing all sorts of different stuff. They've used the newspaper as a prop, and I can't believe all the different things they've been doing to entertain us while we've been doing these segments. How much of it is like improvised and reacting to the people who are coming through, and how much is like this is how we scare them every time?
Well, it depends on the room. Like actor gets into their scene and they find their way. We give them a broad, strokes of what we would like to see. Mm-hmm. And then they usually take it from there. It's mostly improv, though. And the actors that we have are just over the top, just completely over the top this year.
It was unbelievable. There was a moment where we went through Nightmare High and there's like a cheerleader coming and like her, she's like, her eyes are kind of stitched together and her face is sort of melty and she's very energetic and, scares us to the first room. And we get to another room and I'm pretty sure she came out like crawling through an opening that was maybe a foot wide, like crawling through but like her elbows were backwards and her knees were upset. I don't even really understand what happened. Oh, dear. Oh. You all right, Michael?
What are you reaching for?
So I'm guessing you have a lot of actors. And do you have like college students? Do you have like, what's the range of the performers you have involved?
We actually have everything from 16 all the way into their 50s and everything
really?
In between. Yeah.
I should go do this.
We are still,
I would love to do
actors.
Dress up. Are you?
Yeah.
Oh wait, how can people apply for work?
They can go to houseoftormentchicago.com.
Okay.
Or they can go to any of our Craigslist or Snag a Job. Indeed, we have listings there as well.
So all kinds of jobs, I'm guessing, whether it's, helping people get through the ticket lines and ticket takers.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And also actors.
You wanted to be one of the scary people,
I don't know if
right?
I don't have
can you
time.
Be the cheerleader that's like almost dead?
I don't think I'm going to fit in that skirt, but thank you for thinking I could. I appreciate that. I do. I really do appreciate that. The girl who was running through the The girl's running through the hallways. He was like, this way, let's go this way. She was super creepy. She was very, very good.
She's very
I always
creepy.
Think it's creepy when someone who's smiling is scary.
And you you go, yes.
No offense.
Thank
yes.
you. I thrive on my smile. But you go in the high Sorry. School, I mean, they have everything. They have Sorry. Like the cafeteria. They've got the library. And like you go through the rows of books, like the stacks. And like so hands are coming out through the book set, like the books on the shelves.
Do you go throw it in a particular order or do you explore the space?
You, in order.
It's in order. Order.
I yeah. may have accidentally walked through a door I wasn't supposed to. I had to kind of pull that plywood. Okay. There are places where if you need to get out, you can.
Correct.
And do you? I mean, like it is pretty terrifying. Do you have people who need those doors?
We do. We have people to tap out in all different phases of the house.
Tap out.
How do you tap out? What's the you process
just say,
there?
They just say, "I'm done. Please, I'm done. Let me." Okay. They have to get out, and yeah. the actors will let yeah. show them the way, and then call for help and have them escorted up to the front.
I'm never saying that.
You're never saying I'm done? I'm done. When I was a little girl, I would say that one time I didn't go into a haunted house because it was like at a strip
That's
mall.
That's not a challenge. It's not a challenge.
There was a the entrance and the exit. Cause you, Michael is being just swarmed, as a matter of fact. There was the entrance and the exit were kind of next to each other because you went in one door and you went through a path, like a maze through it, and the exit, they were very close to each other, and the exit was a room with a strobe going and then a guy with a chainsaw, and I was like maybe 9 years old, and for me there was a moment in my brain where it was like it just takes one guy with a real chainsaw.
Yeah,
sure.
In my mind.
Yeah.
So that was the only time I was too afraid to even go in. I'm guessing you get people who come right up to the door and they're done.
That is correct.
Yeah.
All the time.
I would, yeah, this would be a place that if I was, this is not for 9 and 10 year olds. My dad was wrong for taking me at 9 years old to a haunted house like this one.
That's where I started to at 9. My sister took me and she took me in. I got through it in a very unorthodox way, but I got through it.
What was the unorthodox way?
So they split us up. They took every other person and they put them into a different door.
That's great.
So they split me from my sister at 9 years old.
No.
So I was on my own. Yeah.
I love that.
And I literally grabbed the shirt of some man and I hid my face in it and I went through the house he's like, honey, we're out. And then my sister came running over. I'm so sorry. But that's how I went through my first big haunted house.
Oh, what a sweet story.
In the shirt of another man. So whoever it was out there, thank you.
And you were hooked, I guess?
I was hooked and then I was hooked.
Wow.
So I kind of peeked, every now and then.
What was that? Was that me? Did I do that? I think did the ghouls do it? What happened? Wow. They've taken over the studio. Hold on, let me turn, I can do this. There we go. I don't know what happened.
It was ghosts.
It is ghosts.
The haunted studio.
That's pretty intense. That is a good haunting when it comes into our studio.
We brought it with us.
Yeah.
It's in the machine.
I feel like the Lockjaw has something he wants to say to the audience. I feel like we should give him a microphone. No? I feel like he's got something. He's trying to say something. I can tell. I can tell he's trying.
Yeah, speaking to the mic.
Come on, John. You know you want to go to this haunted house with me.
I sure do, Patty. For the purposes of the segment, I do.
The best thing I've ever seen. Well, everyone go to houseoftorment.com. Karen, I want to thank you so much for coming in tonight.
It's my pleasure.
And I will see you again. I'll be there for... So you said Zombies Apocalypse Live is on the 21st and 22nd of October, and then again November...
11th and 12th.
Excellent.
And that's laser night, in case you...
That's laser night. Meaning you get to fight back against... And not like... But, I mean, be careful. Let's not accost the actors, because they are tremendous. And just use the laser.
Just
gun.
Laser.
And but you get to like reload, and there's like restaging areas.
Oh, sure. You got it.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Well done. Congratulations, Karen, on a very successful haunted house.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. And all the makeup artists, all the performers, congratulations on the work you're doing this year. Halloween's my favorite time of year. Bye, everybody. We'll see if we're still here when we come back after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's a rainy evening this Tuesday night, and the Cubs were rained out. They're rescheduled for tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see. Hopefully we can finish up with the Nationals and move on. John Tatey, more of a football fan than a baseball fan.
Well, certainly I follow the playoffs, though. You're getting pretty cocky.
No.
You're already moving on. You're like, hey, we'll just finish off those Nationals.
If we finish the...
Yeah,
I'd like to keep finish the series.
You sounded like you'd already cashed the check.
No, because Arrieta has I believe he's got a hamstring situation going on, so we're not too disappointed that he has an extra day of rest.
And Schwarber's in the outfield. Did you see that play?
Yeah, Keystone Cops on the field yesterday. I don't know what was happening.
I'm sorry if he's listening. It's hard to play baseball. It is. It's really hard. I had this debate with my dad. We were watching the Yankees game, and Judge missed one like that. And he's like, that's an error. I was like, no, that's really hard to do. He's like, no, everyone should make that play. It's like, it's hard. The ball's hit really hard.
I don't think an error is called if you should have made the play. I don't think that's how they count those things. Well, you're both more football guys than baseball.
I still really play in baseball leagues.
You do?
Yeah. So I'm a pretty big fan, but
let's
I like football.
Yeah, but stop trying to prove your baseball cred. Let's talk about football.
Okay, let's exactly. talk about football. Sorry, I'm not. I watched
a little bit of that Packers Dallas game. I'm not really sure what happened.
I want to kidnap Aaron Rodgers and make him our quarterback. That's all what right. I want.
Yeah, what's happening with the Chicago? I mean, I guess Trubisky did a little bit better than. I don't know why they didn't start him at the beginning of the season.
And those trick plays.
That was beautiful.
I loved it.
When you hear John Gruden say, I've never seen that before, that means it's never existed before. Like, he gets like 2 hours of sleep a night because he follows so much football.
Well, that two-point conversion was like a magic
yeah.
trick.
That's yeah.
so I had to funny. Watch the replay twice before I saw where the ball went.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was fun. And then the fake punt. I love a fake punt.
Who doesn't love a fake punt?
I love how like chill that punter was when he was just like,
yeah. Doop.
It's like, whoop. Like sometimes they freak out and they run around. It's just like, touchdown.
Yeah. He was ice flowing through his veins.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to write one of your blogs for AV Club regarding football? Or are you
one of my little blogs, Patty?
Your blog? It's the block and
no,
black
I
and tackle.
No, you're very sweet to ask about it. And no, I've been so occupied with the TV show, I haven't had time to write it, but I can't wait to get back to it.
I said it that way because I was trying to remember the title. It was not, the tone was not intended to sort of
just
diminish the
stuff.
Work that you do.
No, no. I have a lot of fun writing the block and tackle column on avclub.com, and it's going to be back, I think, around week 10. Because the TV show will then be on hiatus.
All right. And so you have, and I voice the announcements on his show. Is it sounding
announcer?
That's awesome.
Is it sounding game showy? Is it sounding more broad and big? I have to do one tonight.
I love it.
Okay. Then.
Oh, you haven't recorded it yet?
I missed the email yesterday, but it will be done before I leave tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
Tonight
that's on the AV Club.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's a little bigger than she actually does
too,
it on
yeah,
the show.
A little bigger. Do you want that big? You don't want that big. That's a little too deep.
No,
that's
I love
too...
the way you do it.
Do you want me to direct this audition session right now?
I know. Yeah. Patty's talking herself out of the job.
I know. What is happening? What is happening? You guys were talking about for a moment, I think, about in other ways, but about Stranger Things.
Yes.
Are you in on Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah.
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 And I'm excited.
And Paul Reiser, because we were talking about Paul Reiser before the show, and Paul Reiser is going to be on the new season of Stranger Things.
That's exciting.
I love the casting on this show.
Well, that's what's fun on a lot of these shows. You can get whether it's from HBO to Netflix, from Amazon to Hulu. You see people that you're like, oh, I'm so glad he's on this. Like,
yeah.
Ralph Macchio totally. Popping up on Deuce was surprising. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that episode yet. Deuce, I think, is kind of dumb, Patty.
It's weird.
It's kind
I'm not,
of a stupid.
I watch
show.
It if it's on. I watch. I have not recorded it. I'm like, oh, I'll see how this episode turns
well,
out.
Well, you figure, David. Have you seen it, Michael?
No,
the,
I haven't.
The Deuce. It's by the. It's by David.
It's James
Simon.
Franco.
Yeah, two James Franco roles. I don't know, Patty. I don't know about that. I don't think it adds anything.
I don't even know. Understand it really yet. I must have missed something
either.
At some point.
I've been watching American Vandal.
Okay, so yes.
Dan Prohl. Yes. I know Dan from LA, and he's great.
Oh,
he's the guy that created it.
Okay.
Dan Prohl with another guy. So he's not in it. They just created it. It's great.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's fine.
But I'm not finished with it yet.
Patty's not in
it. I watch all of it. I watch the whole thing.
Oh, so I have to watch Ozark now. That was the deal.
The whole thing. No, I told you to give it two episodes.
Two episodes.
I kept putting it on. I'm like, John really loves this. I mean,
Michael loves it too.
I
right?
love it too, but Sam wouldn't watch all of it.
It was fine. I think that Dylan is kind of, you know, I think that Sam and I probably knew too many guys like Dylan who were like sexually aggressive.
So let me catch people up. This is a send up of your serial podcast or your Making a Murderer series.
Yeah.
It's a true crime documentary treatment of a case in which someone spray painted 27 male members on cars in a high school faculty parking lot, and it is committed to the joke.
It's so real
in ways that just never goes away. You know, like down to the evidence as to like, you know, well, Dylan draw because Dylan, who is the suspect, has a record. You know, has in the past drawn many penises, but the ones that he draws when he does the testicular area, the way in which he enhances it with hair is different
hair
than the
on
ones.
Yeah.
Right,
there's no hair
there's
on the
no,
car
they're
ones.
They're hairless.
No hair on the car
and also
ones.
The mushroom.
The mushroom tip as opposed to the rocket tip.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of the British Office, where if you didn't know it wasn't like a comedy, you'd be like, oh, this could be a real documentary.
Yeah.
Well,
everything in it, there's no like just jokes.
Right. Oh, no doubt. Even to the point where the documentarian gets too close to the subject and like he realizes maybe he's being manipulated.
I'm so delighted you watched the whole thing, Betty, even if
I haven't finished it yet.
Oh.
I just saw the one where the two documentarians
get mad at each other.
Got mad at each other because they had to like try to prove why each other did it.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's like when I was like, this is.
And then when they destroyed Nana's house, that was really uncomfortable for me. I think it's because I've known too many rich kids who do that, treat people's houses that way, maybe, too.
Great party, though.
Esmeralda, when you were a kid in high school or even in college, did you ever go to somebody else's house because the parents or the whoever was not there, the responsible adults were out and about?
Not to do nefarious things, no, because I was a big nerd in high school.
Like, you weren't the Riddler in high school?
No, we didn't do anything like, we're going to drink and party. No, we never did that. You're going to play video games.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. That's how we were too. I never tore up somebody's house. No. You know, Michael?
I always thought that was like a fake movie thing. I didn't know that people actually tore up
people's
houses.
Oh, people do that. Yeah, really? People do that. Michael Heidemann, did you ever end up at somebody's house when the parents were away? Or was your house ever the scene? The location. Oh.
You know, I don't think I ever have.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like you're hiding something.
You really teased us there, Mike.
I was like, I'm going to pretend to mess with the volume while I hide my truth.
My parents might be listening and they don't need to know why things disappeared from the house at a certain period of my life. So Ozark is the one that I did enjoy it. I understand why you didn't, but yes, you have to put in at least two more episodes.
Okay. That's all I'm asking. I will. I'll keep my promise.
And since I watch all nine, I'm telling you too, I know they're only half hour episodes for American Vandal and Ozark is almost an hour, but yes, Michael.
You've watched it twice now, right?
I haven't seen Ozarks yet. Tom really likes it from Bob and Tom.
Oh, really?
He really likes Ozarks.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here and find out what else people are watching or maybe what they should be watching.
Oh, okay.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late, hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio on this rainy night. Joining me is John Tatey.
Romantic.
I know, it is
a little
now. Get some candles lit. Maybe get a glass of wine or something. Some chocolate. I don't know. It is a little bit like that.
Some chocolate. Yeah. So let's get some chocolate.
I would just love one of those like monsters that's like plastered up against the window.
I know. Right? They didn't do a drive-by on the way out, did they? They were great. We've been talking with John and Michael, Michael Palisak in town for a week-long performances at Zany's on Wells.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Zanies.com for ticket information. Who's on stage with you this week?
Jim Flanagan's hosting.
Excellent.
The month. And then the other guys are Rob and Will, and I just met them, so I don't remember their names.
You have co-features?
Co-features.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So sometimes if a comic doesn't quite have all the material to do a whole feature spot, Bert will split it up and do co-feature spots. So we'll do like 12 and a half, 15 minutes each.
That's fun. That's a nice night of comedy.
It's a good show, I think. There was a group from Starbucks that was really annoying today, but other than that.
Wait, there was a Starbucks party in the audience?
They were the worst audience members.
Ever?
All hopped up on caffeine.
Not ever.
They were all hopped up on caffeine, yeah.
They're not the worst ever, but they just talked through the whole show.
Yeah, I'd rather have them on booze than coffee.
Double espressos. How about another Americano, huh, guy? How's that? You like that? Okay.
I try not to be the complicated customer at Starbucks. I like a double espresso on ice with room for milk.
Rob, are you a Starbucks patron, Rob?
Absolutely.
What do you get?
I'm a devotee. Usually get a triple grande no whip mocha.
Wow. Whoa. Did not see that coming at all.
And normally they get my name as Ralph on the cup. I don't know. I mean, I'm in broadcasting and I always say my name as Rob Martyr.
Rob.
Yeah.
I get Betty. Ralph. I get Betty a lot.
You get Betty?
I get Betty.
Really?
Yeah, I get Betty, not just from Starbucks people.
You don't even look like a Betty.
Yeah, but I say Patty.
Do you think they look
Betty
about what she looks like when they write the name on the cup?
Yeah, right. I guess I'd be Steve. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Rob, do you think you just look like a Ralph to them?
I don't know, man. It drives me crazy.
If I worked at Starbucks, I would just make up names that were close to it just to mess with the people.
As what names do you get on your cups?
Oh, I just usually give them something. Like if I have my card or something, like credit card, I'm like, just look, the name's right there. Just don't even.
Yeah.
Because it's
frightening. Yeah, I don't want to bother.
Because then they just look at me that like I just said gibberish at them. And I'm like, it's okay.
I do like Disney names. Aladdin. Ooh. Aladdin. Yeah. Triple mocha, Aladdin.
I like Mulan. Mulan. Get your double espresso.
Nemo. Where's Nemo?
Oh, Dory.
Yeah.
I like all that. That's all. Now I know. That makes going to Starbucks even more fun. Now we'll mess with them, the people that were annoying to you. Do you know what Starbucks?
Yeah, I'm only going to go to Caribou from now on. No, it was like their executive people, like their regional sales people.
I kind of see them being a little bit.
Wow.
Were they presumptuous?
I think they were drunk going in. They probably got free tickets and they just didn't know how to act. And that was the thing. Like Bert was there and he like told him, this is not how you act. And then they just did it like through the whole show.
Yeah. It's always like weird when the executive like, president. Yeah, of,
it's not even just the bouncer. Like this is a man.
Who runs all the clubs.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Yeah. We have coming up after the news. We have Rusty Thrall, who's the lead bartender at an event coming up. The Conrad Chicago is hosting a Game of Thrones themed Halloween party.
Oh.
So that's in partner with Vivu. I'm not going to get any of those words right. Vivu Cliqua. Uh-huh. That's. I'm going to assume that's how you say
it.
I
know it well.
Yeah. Cliqua. Otherwise, if I say it the way it looks like it's pronounced, like the way it's spelled, I might get into some trouble with the FCC.
Yeah, that was borderline.
I think you can find your new Starbucks name.
C-L-I-C-Q-U-O-T. I think I have found my new. I don't know how you pronounce that. We'll find out in a moment. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is John Tatey. You can catch him every Thursday night on Fusion Television, the AV Club, hosted by John Tatey. And that's at 8 p.m. Central Time.
8 p.m. Central.
Check your local listings if you're
check
not.
Check them.
Check them. Get that done.
Have them tattooed on your arm.
Please watch the show. Michael Palisak, please go to his show. He's performing at the Zanies on Wells through Sunday night. There are shows 8:30 on Wednesday, Thursday, 8:30 and 10:30 on Friday. Is there three shows still on
Saturday? Three shows Saturday.
7, 9, and 11:15 on Saturday. It's almost like I know that schedule for some reason.
Yeah.
8:30 on Sunday nights. Go to zanies.com. He's also appearing with Jim Flanagan. We'll get him in the studio as well if his schedule allows. So glad to have you in studio, Michael. If you Google Michael Palisak, you'll see that he has been on The Tonight Show, The Late Show with David Letterman, The Late Show with Craig Ferguson, Conan O'Brien. I mean, there aren't many comics who had the opportunity and were able to accomplish what you accomplished on so many of those shows, and deservedly so.
Thank you.
One of the great joke writers, one of the great performers in stand-up
comedy.
Thanks,
Patty.
What is Craig Ferguson like? Because
he's great.
Idolize him.
He's wonderful.
I'm asking the guest.
I know, but you both answer it. I've worked with him. I opened for him for several weeks.
Well, then you would. Yes. I feel like when he's around you, it's just sort of. But like when you're talking to him, there's like a hyper focus where all of a sudden he's engaged. And like you are like really taught, like he's like your friend and all this stuff.
You're the most important person in the room.
Yeah.
That's what made him a good interviewer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it came across on the screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I need to do that for our guest, Rusty Thrall, who is here
from the Conrad
Hotel. Yeah. Come on closer to your microphone. Let me hear you.
Conrad Chicago.
And you are the lead bartender. You guys have a great festivities scheduled for the Halloween season.
Yeah. Our rooftop. We're getting really excited. The rooftop. Noyane is going to shut down, but for the 28th, we're going to do a Halloween party, Game of Thrones featured like style, and see what everyone can bring out for their best costumes.
See, now, I wish I was a bigger fan, because the costumes, the images of Game of Thrones are wonderful and make for great fantasy.
A lot of potential images. Here. Great Halloween.
They're
theme.
Iconic, too. Everyone like would know who everybody is. Yeah.
Except for me, because I don't watch the show.
And people can reuse those costumes, too. For sure. They can definitely...
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, people are going to be wearing Game of Thrones costumes for years to come.
That's attractive. Like, you look... good in Game of Thrones stuff.
I have to Google stuff.
Yeah.
I have
like
no idea.
The women in
about.
That show.
Yeah, there's.
Do they wear clothes?
Are you gonna wear,
it's gonna
are
be
you going
event.
As a woman?
I'm not going as a woman, but if I was a single guy and I wanted to go meet somebody, that might be a good place to go.
Now, who's your favorite on Game of Thrones? Are you dressing as?
Are we just talking about the like actresses at this point, or like the character?
Anybody, anything.
I didn't mean to make it.
Which character are you going as?
Well, I don't know.
Cersei?
I think I'll be wearing a bow tie and working the event. So,
Oh wow.
But maybe that might be Littlefinger in the end, like behind the scenes trying to work things to happen.
There you go.
But I think Arya Stark has to be the best. She's just terrifying.
I like the dog.
Yeah.
There you go. Which one?
No, like the
the Hound.
The Hound.
The Hound. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you guys take this conversation. I really have no... I mean, I love fantasy... themed parties, and this sounds like a great one.
Yeah,
and it sounds like you guys have great. I mean, they just even the Winter's Brew that you brought. I know that you have some great. What else is going to be on the menu for this event?
So it's a Veuve and Belvedere event. So
Veuve, okay,
Veuve,
so okay.
Champagne.
Can you pronounce the second part of that?
Clicquot.
Okay,
I
there
just,
it is.
You I went Clicquot? For something.
I was close. Clicquot. I think I said Clicquot.
I'm not gonna. Mm. I'm not saying I'm right.
You didn't say it.
I'm not saying I'm right at all.
Clicquot.
It sounds.
It's not.
It sounds foreign.
Yeah, I have no idea what I said. We'll play the tape later.
I remember exactly what you said.
I'm pretty confident with Belvedere,
it's
though.
It's etched in.
Belvedere, definitely. And, yeah. And Vivu?
Yeah. And Vuv. Everyone knows about Vuv. The yellow label.
But it looks like Vivu.
Yeah. A lot of words don't look right.
No, I know it's hard to pronounce because I have seen it before. I mean, I don't envy the task that you had.
How'd you pronounce it?
Clico?
No, that's the first
one. Oh, Vuv.
Yeah, let's Vuv.
We're starting there.
Vuv and Clico.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's close enough.
Again, I do not think I'm right. I'm just saying what I would say to sound right.
So what are you whipping together with those choices?
So Vuv, to me, like, such a celebration, and you think of, like, all this, like, celebrating and positivity, like weddings and stuff. And with Game of Thrones, there's one wedding we all think of. So my Vuv drink, toast to the Freys. It's it's red because, like Game of Thrones, you know, you think things are going to go well and nothing does in the end. So it's got a little bit of strawberry liqueur in there with the Vuv and a little bit of citrus and a nice red color to remind you of all the violence in the show.
Don't trust anybody.
Yeah, the red wedding, of course. And then the second drink is going to be the Belvedere drink. I figure Chicago, near Halloween, there's a good chance it's going to be pretty cold. So I went with a coffee drink, kind of like an Irish coffee style. Belvedere's in there, a little bit of a Fernet Branca, some mint syrup, and then like a blue whipped cream on top. My idea was like watching the White Walkers breathe and just how cold it is. Yeah. But you want to warm up with the coffee, but your breath is just going to be icy mint cold.
I love all the fun that you put into it. Yeah, they're so appropriate to the show.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I love, well, because you sound passionate about both things.
Yeah.
Creating something that people will really enjoy and also the thematically how it works, how they work together.
Yeah.
And I wish I could try your wonderful coffee drink, but some of us have kids.
It does screw up the timing a little bit. But if you're trying to party all night, coffee isn't the worst thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then as far as the the appetizers and food and things like that, what have you got? You know what they're planning?
I know that for sure there's going to be like turkey legs that are going to be there that are kind of like the feasting the old school medieval times almost kind of aspect. I beyond that, I know there will be other aspects, but turkey legs have been the things that have been really pressed to me.
Yeah. Well, and you also brought some, I'm not sure, is this part of the theme or is this just
this was just for
snacks?
You guys to enjoy.
Thank you for letting us enjoy some sweet nuts, I guess, is the best way.
Yeah. we call them our spice nuts,
is that the best way to put it?
You call them spice nuts?
Spice
would you say?
Nuts.
Are they spice nuts or sweet nuts?
They're both.
All right, then.
Both at once.
All right.
Yeah, so we serve these at Baptiste and Bottle, a different bar in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of our like regular bar snacks, but we season the nuts in-house with a couple different chili peppers, some sugar, and then we cook the bacon with some maple syrup.
Oh, very cool. This event is going to be Saturday, October 28th from 7 to 11. Tickets are $25. That's it?
$25. That also gets you a glass of Vuv.
Yeah, I don't understand what you guys... Okay, this is you're basically telling people, just get here.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to be here. That's a great price.
You have to have a good costume, though, right?
You don't have to. We're not going to turn you away. But if you paid us $25, you can come up. We want to see some great costumes, of course.
I think the trick for this, then, well, the problem is I would dress in all black if I felt like I didn't want to commit to a character. Like, if I was going to this, I would wear, like, a really nice something black all, you know, from head to toe. But then you also run the risk of looking like you work there.
Well, we don't have a lot of people working in gowns, but...
Right. So I'll wear a black gown.
Yeah, black gown, you'll be safe.
I'll be fine. No, I'm saying, like, maybe it's black leggings and a black shirt, whatever. I often dress too much like the people that work at a venue. I wear a red, polo shirt to Target. I'm that girl.
I've done that.
Yeah, it's a bad day. I'm like, I'm not putting the carts away right now. I'm looking for my soap. Right. We are hanging out with Rusty Thrall. He's a lead bartender. Are you hanging out for a bit or are you done? You got to go, John. All right.
Gotta go.
So, John Tatey, we will see you next Tuesday, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Can we see you next Tuesday?
Yes.
Talk some more stuff?
You ask so, I don't know, deferentially, but yeah, I'll be here.
I want to see you on Tuesday.
Okay. Right,
then we'll talk some game shows, because I think game show season has come back on. Is there more stuff? I feel like there are more game shows that have come out. Like
Snoop Dogg's in one.
And
not to get in your way.
That's right.
And there's a stand-up comic one.
How dare you, sir?
There's a stand-up comic one called Funny You Should Ask. Have you had a chance to see this?
Oh, no, I haven't had a chance to see it. Let's talk about it next week.
We'll talk about it next week, so you have a chance to watch that and a couple more episodes of Ozark. And again, if you can't make it through, maybe give it just two more episodes.
I'll give it two more episodes.
All right,
that was the deal.
Yeah. All right, then. Just saying.
Yeah.
that. All right. I appreciate the effort. All right. John Tatey, pleasure to see you. Follow him on Twitter at John Tatey. That's T-E-T-I. He's also on Facebook and on Instagram, and his show is on Thursday nights on Fusion Television, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings.
I'm Real John Tatey on Instagram. I'm trying to do a little of the Instagram lately.
Do it.
Real John Tatey, T-E-T-I is how my last name is spelled. I know it's weird.
And you should, because you have a good eye for things. So I think that if you like, just take a camera out and take pictures and just load them. I think that you should.
You're so nice, Patty. Yeah, okay, I'll make more of an effort.
Because you have a great take on things. Because mine, obviously, I take a lot of selfies. And that's just like, I just want to like capture a moment where I am. Mm-hmm. I told you the sad story as to why I take so many selfies with people. Because one of my friends who passed away in 2010, Christine Bloomer, the wine diva, when she passed away, I realized when I went through all my files, I had no pictures with her. And so I take selfies with people. I don't have any pictures with Greg Giraldo, who I worked with many times.
That and it inspired me, and I have been doing that more, making sure I'm in the picture with the person.
Take a picture with your friends. I mean, not because you think they're going to die, but you never know. More after this. Have a good night, John.
Thanks,
love you.
Patty.
Have a good night. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Glad you're here with us in this rainy evening. I hope you're happy and safe wherever you are. Maybe it's not raining where you are. I was talking to somebody today explaining how there's no way to really count how many people are listening right now because we are in 38 states and Canada.
Oh, wow.
We had a call last night from Shanghai. Someone was listening online.
Shanghai, Wisconsin?
No. Right? We got a call from China last night. Wow. We can't hear you, Michael. Did I turn you off?
Nope, I turned myself off like a dork. From Shanghai, China. I think that was the farthest we've ever gone.
The farthest we've ever the show. We've gotten texts from Africa.
What?
We've gotten texts from. We have a listener. Oh, Davide! I don't know if he's listening yet. He usually listens after 1 a.m. in Italy. He listens to our show to learn English.
That's great.
And I apologize to everyone in his life because I, one, talk very quickly. two, I'm a Chicagoan, so I end many of my sentences with prepositions. And I am also the daughter of an immigrant. My mother's from Mexico, so I don't always commit to the correct pronunciation of many words because I learned Spanish first and then English, and I still question every single thing that I say. That's why I talk so quickly, because I'm like, you know what? If they don't hear me say it wrong, I'll just keep going. Rusty Thrall is the head bartender at Conrad Chicago, and they have a great event coming up on Saturday, October 28th from 7 to 11. It is their Game of Thrones Halloween bash. And where are you from? I already asked you. I already know. But tell our listeners where you are from originally.
Outside of Washington, D.C., I grew up in Northern Virginia, Annandale, Fairfax area.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people familiar with that.
What brought you to Chicago?
Really nothing. It truly was. I felt like I had an opportunity to pick up life and just
pick somewhere else.
Well, just try something new. I'd been in Northern Virginia, but I mean, most of my life I went to school elsewhere. I lived in Florida for a little bit, but I was like, I want to come here. Also, my uncles own Pastoral. Are you familiar with the wine and cheese shop?
Mm-mm.
There's one actually right at like Lake and Wabash.
I feel like I need to get to know Pastoral.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. Mm. And, I had a free place to stay for a month. Yeah. So I was like, when I'm...
That helps?
Yeah, okay. Really big. So
And that lured you to our city for a while?
Yeah, I've spent about 2.5 years here. I'm actually in the process of moving back right now. Back to Washington, D.C.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Okay, so you're leaving us. When are you leaving us?
I don't know for sure, but my wonderful girlfriend Jennifer is waiting for me there, and that's where I'm heading. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that so sweet?
Was she your girlfriend that you met here, or she?
No,
we've
been together for a little while. Now I shouldn't go any deeper in this at all. This is terrible. But I thought I should give a shout out to her.
Oh, hi Jennifer.
Yeah,
I love that. Now, growing up in Washington D.C. or near Washington D.C. because that's probably there are only two other cities I've ever been to that I thought I wish when I was younger I picked up and lived somewhere for a while, and D.C. is one of them. Boston is the other. D.C. has this energy that I can't explain to people.
Yeah, it's weird. I growing up there, you don't notice it at all.
Right.
But like everyone is super focused on work.
Yes.
To the point where like I've heard from people from L.A. I've never lived in L.A. But like you never trust any conversation with anyone. Everyone's trying to get something from you.
In L.A. or D.C. or both?
Both.
Yes.
And everyone calls D.C. ugly Hollywood. Like that's where people go. Like, I mean, I didn't coin that, but that's where people go. When they're really successful in life and like...
I kind of love that, but they're not pretty enough to be in Los Angeles.
Yeah, of course. They're driven.
Well, I was surprised. A friend of mine worked for the State Department and we were out for drinks one night and I was noticing all the women in like ridiculously high heels and, you know, really tight dresses and all these things. And I said, you know, I was trying to figure out... She said heels are a power thing for women in D.C.
Height.
Yeah, it's height. I wear riding boots. I was at a party tonight with a lot of powerful people, and the women were wearing heels, and I was like, I'm going to wear my riding boots, and I'm going to get to that buffet over there a lot faster than everybody else. But she was telling me that it was a power thing, and I was trying to figure out, like, when you mentioned Los Angeles, do women in the movies, you know, when they portray Washington, are they reflecting it, or are the women in D.C. dressing the way they think they're supposed to be in the movies from Los Angeles? That was kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because they look like they're right off the screen.
Yeah, I mean, it plays that way, but it's like the professionalism of that whole thing. D.C. is one of those places where, like, casual Friday hasn't, like, you know, caught on, really. Like, you still, if you, the kids who work on the Hill, I obviously never did. I bartend. But, you know, they wake up and they're suit and tie 9 to 9 every day, like, just killing themselves.
Did you ever bartend in the Capitol? Like in the downtown D.C. or where politicians hung out?
Yeah, I worked.
You probably have better stories than other people do.
Not really. I mean, you get tired of bartending stories. Like, they're the same thing. The cool thing was, like, in D.C., I worked at a place really close to the White House, so daily you saw the motorcade.
Oh, sure.
And so, like, everything shuts down, and that's pretty cool. And I've served, like, a couple diplomats and stuff like that.
Okay. There you go. I was kind of hoping for something a little dish. You know, you could use, like,
cut them off.
It's one of those things, like, after a while, they all blur together. Yeah. And so, like, nothing shocks me anymore. Like, I have no, like, there's no story to me because I've just seen so many drunk people doing, like, nonsense.
Oh, you know what? I want to talk more about that and what you're doing in Chicago and your career as a because it sounds like you love bartending.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And I love when people love what they do.
Yeah.
Michael, you love what you do.
Yeah, I love what I do.
I love what I do. Michael Heidemann, do you love what you do?
Absolutely.
By the way, when we come back to you, don't let me forget to talk about your the Sound Sessions podcast at the Podcast Festival and all the other shows that you were hosting at the Old Town School of Folk Music. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Michael Palasak, where did you grow up again?
I grew up in Wabash, Indiana.
Wabash, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And how long have your parents moved to Chicago?
Yeah, in 2002, and that's when I started stand-up.
It was it 2002 that you started?
Yeah, that was my first. The Barrel of Laughs in Oak Lawn.
Oh, man.
Bill Brady's Comedy Capers.
So we also have in the studio with us Rusty Thrall, who is the head bartender at Concord Chicago. They have an event coming up on October 28th.
Conrad.
Oh, I've heard it both ways. Conrad. Why am I saying Concord? I want some grapes, apparently. The Conrad Chicago. And on October 28th, they have a Game of Thrones Halloween bash. You can go to eventbrite.com and look for the Game of Thrones Halloween bash at the Conrad Hotel rooftop, which is at 101 East Erie, and celebrate with a night of magic and dragons and intrigue. And we've been talking a little bit about where... Well, Rusty is from, which is the D.C. area, and Michael, you've moved to Chicago in 2002, and I've had a chance to watch you grow up as a comic, and I've grown up at the same time. I'm just, you know, I thought I'd been doing comedy much longer than you had.
Well,
I'm much older than you are. You were how old were you when you started?
20 was the first time I went on stage, but I didn't like. I was in college.
You look so much younger.
Oh yeah,
you look super young. Is
doing the math. No, I'll take it.
All right. I've loved watching you grow up as a comic. So, Rusty, to give you an idea of the Barrel of Laughs, which is was in Oak Lawn, mm-hmm. Bill Brady's club, you weren't allowed to use the F word on stage.
Clean.
Yeah. Well, no. See, that's an interesting distinction.
Yeah.
Which F word? Today we have a lot of F words.
Yeah.
Well, the one you can't say right now.
The traditional one.
In this room, I don't think we can say any of them.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't. So, on that stage, you could not use the F word, but you could be dirty, which was confusing.
Yeah.
It was, because, I mean, the guy who ran the club, who also would MC the show, would go up and for bachelorette parties, like, do these shots. Esmeralda, this was what was so confusing in my career, right? So you would be told one thing. Don't use this word. But I'm going to go up and do an oral gratification joke to a woman from the audience and embarrass her and humiliate her in front of the entire audience. And that's going to be cool with everybody.
But
and
as long as they said oral gratification and not the other word.
No, I can't say that. That word, I can't say. Can I totally use the initials? What do you think, Michael? Can I say the initials of the other? No. Michael,
the quarterback for the Chargers is Billy Joe Tolliver. In the 90s?
Yes, a Billy Joel. Yes, I don't know if Billy Joel would like that. But Michael cringed in a way that I've never seen him cringe. But, I'm not sure where we fall on either side of that. But yeah, he would bring girls up on stage. And so it's this, you know, the shot, the Billy Joel shot.
Yeah.
That, what is it? It's like...
You sing Piano Man.
It's typically just a lot of whipped cream on top of...
Right. Yeah. So, and you're supposed to take the shot. So you wrap your lips around it and put the shot glass in your mouth, and you're supposed to take the shot like without using your hands. And yeah, and then so of course it's like dribbling. Like, so that's clean humor is to have a woman on stage, but you can't use the F word.
Yeah.
And I think that that was why when I was there my very first time, one of the comics on the show had some fun. And because you would be penalized, I think that he would take money off. He would dock your pay. Huh. So Jimmy Pardo went on stage, and I believe he said it like about once he got past like 23, we all stopped counting, because I think it was a little bit of like, you know what, I call you on your BS. BS is okay, right? Is BS okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right. Michael's like, it's too late now, is what he's saying. You said it twice. But that was an interesting moment.
Yeah. The way Bill explained to me was that there was a restaurant attached to it that anybody could be in. So it was more like people, like kids could hear that word. And he didn't like it if you swore in front of women either. Like, even if it was like after the show, you weren't allowed to swear in front of women.
Esmeralda, how do you feel when people swear in front of you as a woman?
I don't care.
I know.
I myself don't. I swear, but I don't swear as much as I probably should. And I think it's just because of radio, and I've trained myself to not swear.
What do you mean you don't swear as much as you should or would like to?
Probably would like to. Yeah.
Yeah, I you know, believe it or not, in the years I've been here, I've never sworn on the air.
I believe it.
Mostly because I'm not entirely sure where the button is.
The button is far from the thing.
It's last night it tested mine. I need to put a post on it every single night.
I had a swearing instance a couple weeks ago. I went to the Bears-Steelers game.
Uh-huh.
And there was the play where the guy like recovered the field goal and was running back for a touchdown. And then he just stopped before he got the touchdown. And I went to the game with my dad, who has never heard me swear really that I know of. And I was just swearing out because he stopped 3 yards in front of the touchdown. I didn't know what happened.
What words did you use?
I can't say them on air.
I know you can't, but
I don't know if you heard me because everyone was yelling things, but I was just like, you're so close to why.
But it's not even an instinct. That had to be something otherworldly for you.
Just mouth them for us.
I'll say it. But I was just like, oh, my dad definitely heard me say that, which is weird.
Do you watch John Oliver, Rusty?
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
So did you watch the Sunday night's episode?
I haven't watched that one yet.
When you watch it, I was struck by something because we watch it with my son, who's 14.
Oh,
so
wow.
Kind of like straddling that world of, you know, he knows that mommy uses language once in a while. I try not to do it in front of him. He experiments and we tell him to slow his roll. One of the things my husband dislikes is how much John Oliver will rely on really nasty visuals and, you know, descriptions of things and sexual innuendos. And I have to say that I thought this episode was one of the strongest because he didn't do that. Like, he did not resort to that nearly as much as he usually does and had some really funny jokes.
Well, I've heard that from, I think when I first started doing stand-up, I heard an interview with Seinfeld where he had a joke that he swore in, and then he took that word out, and the joke didn't work anymore, and he's like, I'm not going to do that anymore because it makes my joke writing worse. And then Seinfeld's like, well, I'm not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And I didn't really swear a lot anyways. But I think there's something to that. You have to be more creative, more thoughtful, more whatever.
And I think it also, if it's authentic, I think for you, it's authentic to not swear.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I do church shows. I do corporate shows. I do third show Saturdays. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in a situation, I can adjust to whatever that is. Yeah. I've done this long enough where I can kind of feel the audience out. Not that I do it every single time. I can really get to that point. But I have in the rotation everything that I need to do a clean show, to do a dirty show, to do a PG-13 show, and that's fine. For me, it's authentic, and I try to make sure that everything I say is authentic.
Yeah,
reflects me as who I am.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, and so I don't think that it's authentic for you to even swear.
Oh yeah,
and I don't think it's authentic. And I don't think, you know, I've never been a big fan of Jerry Seinfeld's.
Well, I think as like a work ethic, like comedian career wise, I've always valued that. But I don't know. He's very prolific and like.
Oh yeah, he writes.
I mean, I think he's made the most money as an actor. Even
though
he's not an actor.
You know who I love is Brian Regan.
Oh yeah.
Do you like Brian Regan?
Well, I always think like first time I saw him.
Yeah.
I thought his name was Reagan.
Right.
And I believe it was the epitome of hyperbole was the name of his show.
Yeah.
But I was so young and like English doesn't come like the subject of English. I think I speak English fine,
yeah,
but
you look American.
It's pretty happy with the not gonna get that. But no, I thought that it was called the epitome of hyperbole, and I was like, what does that mean? Like,
oh my god,
why would this
great?
Be? And then like,
that's
I got
the
to,
joke.
Like, I got to like seventh grade, and I was like, oh, epitome of hyperbole.
That's fantastic. He's brilliant.
Yeah,
I love that he's got like such a range as far as like being physical,
yes,
and being, but also being dramatic and being funny. I thought it was, yes, interesting when he did his live Comedy Central. So, mm-hmm, he's the first comic to ever do a live, just live uncut show
on Comedy Central.
And he never really talks about his relationships. All this,
yeah,
stuff is always outside of him. And I thought that was kind of interesting because it was good and,
yeah,
it was brief, but it was kind of nice to see too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's gone through a lot.
I think I started when all the observational stuff was kind of like, you can't do that and start out because everyone's done it. So we had to talk about ourselves.
Right.
Whereas like those guys, they hadn't been done before. So,
right,
they do a lot of observational stuff.
Yeah, they did all observational.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah,
and I kind of came in right in the middle of that. Right before,
yeah,
well, it was a while before you, but it was before you in the sense that it's hard. You would see comics who were incredible joke writers and didn't even have like segues. They could just do,
yeah,
joke, 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 joke. You know who was the most prolific? Well, I don't know about prolific, but yeah, I would say every time I saw him was a different set. Mitch Hedberg was one of the best joke writers of all time.
He was my favorite. When I first heard him, I was like, oh, that's what something I could do. Like, he made it seem so, like, he was so himself, but also really, really funny.
Yeah, he was beautiful to watch.
I loved Hedberg in high school, but it was awful once, like, I showed my friends Mitch Hedberg, because then they were doing the jokes constantly.
Oh,
and,
no.
And, like, I was listening on, like, my iPod and, like, dying at Hedberg, and then, like, my stupid friends were, like, making the same jokes, and I was like, guys, like, stop. This is my thing. Like, come on, don't take my thing. Like, I had a personal attachment to Mitch
that
Hedberg.
That tree is far away.
One of my favorites.
Two trees involved.
Whenever people ask me who Mitch Hedberg was to get them to recognize his pattern, I say, this shirt is dry clean only, which means this shirt is dirty. More just a moment on 720 WGN.
This shirt is dry clean only, which means it's dirty.
Oh, that was good to hear Mitch Hedberg's voice. I had the pleasure of opening for him at the Zanies on Wells,
wow,
which is where Michael Palsack is performing this week through Sunday. Rusty, we should get you some tickets to come see the show.
When is this?
Through Sunday at Zanies on Wells.
Yeah, I'll be
Yeah,
there.
Can
nice.
You put his name on the...
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'll get your name up.
I'm basically forcing you to because we're on the air and it's
I
a lot
like
of pressure.
Him to be there.
Yes, please come see the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great club. Have you been there?
I haven't been to Zanies.
It is the one of the oldest comedy clubs in the country. It's been there since 1979. And actually, the club has had, I mean, everybody's been there.
Yeah.
From Jerry Seinfeld, Jay Leno, Judy Tenuta used to perform there. I mean, Louis Black. Louis Black had New Year's Eve 1999.
Whoa.
And I feel badly for all the, because people were so panicked and afraid. He had like 12 people in the audience.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
I opened for him the next year. I opened a couple of New Year's Eves for him at the Zanies on Wells. And
yeah,
people didn't come out on 2000. He was still making fun of them a year later.
That's crazy.
That's funny.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Well, I opened for him starting in 1999 before he really took off with the Jon Stewart show. And then I worked with him up in Appleton. I worked for I opened for him at Summerfest. You know what he used to, when he really took off, he used to send a limo for me to come pick me up. He is one of the kindest, funniest, sweetest men I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
That's great.
Really,
no,
really cool.
Growing up, I would watch The Daily Show, and my dad would only watch it when Louis Black was on.
Oh, really?
It was just like, it sold him. Like, that was like, I could watch this liberal news. Like,
oh, really?
If Louis is yelling, I could do whatever I wanted. He would pay attention if Louis Black was yelling.
That's great.
That's funny.
Well, and I can't use the language, obviously, that Louis did. I was at I opened for him at Loyola, and it was the biggest audience I have ever performed for. That was the first big crowd I ever did. And he had invited me to come hang out on the bus, and he had a tour bus at that point.
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you want for dinner? And I go, I don't know what he has got. And he hands me a menu, and it's a menu for Gibson's that they're having delivered. And I was like, okay, things have changed since we were hanging out in 1999.
Limo, yeah.
And there were like 13 people on a Thursday.
Yeah, Gibson's does a new takeout when they do that.
Yeah, they did then. And we had like, to the point where we had like umbrellas, like security guards with like umbrellas to take us from the bus to the back door of the university. And we walked through the doors, like they turned the lights down in the auditorium, and just this huge echo of people cheering. spring. Yeah. And I turned to him, I go, how many people are out there? And he goes, I don't know, 3,000-5,000 people. I was like, and that was it. I was like, and please welcome Patty Vasquez. And I like walked out like, yeah. And the nice thing about those shows, and you know, those first ones, those first really big ones, is that the lights are so bright.
Yeah.
You can't see anything. It's just you, the microphone, and your material.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of great. It's beautiful.
It's a good numbers game. You don't have to get 90% and you'll get a lot of laughs.
You'll hear it either way.
Yeah.
And the thing that we know too is that there are nights you have that and then the next night you're at Zany's on Wells for a much smaller crowd.
Usually Zany's has been pretty good, but I love doing like, a really awesome show, and then I show up and I'm like, oh yeah, this is like, I think it was some comedy club, and it was like, I almost set the record for the lowest attendance.
Yeah.
Like I was like, one person showed up at the end, and they brought kids and they got it, and I was like, we didn't hit the record. And I was like, oh, this is really good. This is because it's like, as a performer, I just love doing it.
Yes.
And like, if people are there to laugh, that's great. And I think it proves it to yourself that you're not just in it for thousands of people to come.
When Wanda Sykes won Best Female Comic of the Year, like in the late 90s, her next stop was Zany's in Vernon Hills. And Zany's had perhaps didn't really know how to market Wanda yet or whatever it was. Yeah. Wednesday night, Esmeralda, Wednesday night in, I want to say it was 1998. Michael, can you Google the year Wanda Sykes won Best Female Comic of the Year? Because it was Wendy Liebman, then Wanda Sykes. Yeah. I got to open for both of them back to back. And Wanda Sykes, Esmeralda, on a Wednesday night, five people.
Oh no.
Yeah. And we did a show.
Yeah.
And that's what Zany's in Vernon Hills was like with Brian Dorfman. Like you did a show for that. But and I went out, and it was just a two-person show, so I did 30 minutes and she did an hour.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like years later, I still had women coming back. The five women who had been at that show were still following all of my shows because they said, you guys went on stage and never made us feel badly that nobody else showed up. You did a show for us, and it was amazing. Because fortunately, they were all together.
Yeah.
Because if it's like, two people and like three people, it's awkward and stuff like that. Yeah, it was one of the best nights of my life was to watch her on stage.
I get really uncomfortable when like people sing in like a small group setting, and I'm making eye contact with them, and I'm just like, okay, like why are you singing? I couldn't, like, I feel like I would be awkward sitting in that crowd, just being like, why is she just telling me these jokes? Like,
And we would have no choice.
Yeah, exactly.
We would have no choice but to. Yeah. I mean, like, because you can't like look, you can't talk past you either, because then it's like it's stagey.
Yeah,
it's like inauthentic.
Sometimes if it's a really small crowd, I'll like look to one side. No, there's not people there. But in my head, I'm like, well, they can't see up here that there's not people behind them yet. Like, they don't, like for whatever reason.
Was it really 2001, Michael, that she won Best Female Comic of the Year?
In 2001, she won the American Comedy Award for Outstanding Female Stand-Up Comic.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Wow. I thought it was like earlier than that. Yeah, it was 2000.
She actually won, was nominated for an Emmy in 1999 for her writing on The Chris Rock Show, too.
So oh, yeah. That's right.
Quadruple threat.
She's amazing. Yeah, it was 2001. Wow. I don't know why I thought it was like a lot longer ago than that. I mean, not like a lot. I mean, like,
because
when you think like 90s, for some reason, it feels even longer ago.
Yeah.
It was a year before you started doing stand-up.
I know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your story.
I didn't have a story.
All right, then, what fine. All right, we'll move on.
Okay.
No, it was, talking to an audience and making eye contact. Well, the other thing that I learned really early on, there was another club in Mount Prospect, Zany's. There was a Zany's there. Mm-hmm. And did you ever work with Fred Klett?
That name sounds familiar, but I never worked with him.
Oh, he's one of the best comics you will never know. I've been wanting to write this book called Comics You've Never Heard Of. I do, and there's a lot of great comics across, like Patrick Spring across the Midwest, and Fred Klett, and just these guys. Like, there's just so many talented people out there that just work the road, or just never that thing that clicks for them. But Fred and I were working, Fred would he would lock into the one person who wasn't laughing.
Ugh.
Right? So you'd have a whole room of people laughing, and Fred would only lock into the person who was in the front row with their arms crossed, and he could not get past them.
Ah.
You know, and he would like talk to them and try to break them, and I always go for the person who's having a really good time.
That's great.
And just hope it's contagious for the rest of the room.
I was working with Steve Byrne one time at a club, and they were like a rough, not really laughing crowd every night. And I was like, how do you stay so happy? You look so happy doing that. And he's like, oh, I just look at the people that are laughing. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I should stop focusing on the people that aren't.
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, sometimes people just are in a bad mood. They had a bad day. And sometimes you can't overcome that obstacle.
Well, I know. I've been in situations where I'm just embarrassed to laugh for whatever reason. Like, you just don't want to express anything. And
right.
Like, they might be enjoying it. They're just not going to do it.
That's not going to happen right now. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Michael Palasak, who is going to be performing, at the Zanies on Wells, headlining the club through Sunday night. Mm-hmm. You can go to zanies.com for ticket and showtime information. And comedian Jim Flanagan is also on the ticket.
Yeah.
So enjoy those shows. I highly recommend Jim and Michael this
Thank
week.
You.
And joining us as well is Rusty Thrall. He is the head bartender at the Conrad Chicago on the 28th of October. They are hosting the Game of Thrones Halloween Bash. You can go to eventbrite.com for ticket information, and you can climb the wall up to, is it, how do you pronounce Noyane? Hold on, let me give you a microphone.
Noyane.
And Essos? Wait, you'll be transported to Westeros? West?
You said that right.
The continents of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. You can sip wildfire, how do you pronounce this?
Vuv,
and King's Blood Belvedere cocktails. Nice. And wear your costumes. Do it up. This is one way to live your fantasies out here. And there's going to be a contest. Someone's going to win like a dinner for two at Baptiste and Bottle with a night stay at the Conrad.
Wow.
I was not aware, but that's a great prize.
This is the best costume chosen by Small Council.
Wow.
So get your costume on. Michael, are you a Game of Thrones guy?
You know, I saw one episode before, and it's still sitting on my DVR yet to be finished.
Did you see the pilot?
I didn't, but I love the fanfare of it all. I love how everyone is so into it. I'm very excited about that.
It's a great show.
Ez, are you a Game of Thrones?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not. I don't go crazy. Like, I was able to wait to see the episodes and everything. I read the first book, and then I tried reading the second one, and it got really muddled. And I had to give it up. But I do enjoy it. I don't go crazy, but I do like it.
I've seen probably about an hour's worth of several episodes altogether. Probably 20 minutes of the first episode and then little bits here and there.
I loved it.
I keep coming back for more.
Apparently. And are you going to be in town the 28th?
I am working in South Dakota.
I love how your brain works so you actually know where you'll be on the 28th. I mean, we do that sometimes, don't we? We have to like, keep that all organized.
Well, it means a lot.
Where in South Dakota will you be?
University of South Dakota.
Oh, very.
In Vermilion? Is it Vermilion? Town?
I don't know where that is. Yeah. I've never been to Vermilion.
Doing like the parents' weekend. So,
that'll be fun.
Anyways, kids go to University of South Dakota. It's either that or South Dakota State.
Big rivalry.
I did one last year. I'm doing another one this year.
Because they're the only two places. I mean, the biggest source of population.
I finally got my last state in.
What was your last state?
Montana.
Oh, I've never performed in Montana.
Yeah, I did college there.
Oh, there you go. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Get to the college campus. Well, again, on the 28th, even though Michael will be in South Dakota, this event is taking place at the Conrad Chicago on their rooftop. So they're doing it all up fun. Go to eventbrite.com or go to Noyane. Noyane.com. That's Noyane.com for more information. And it'll be a great time. It's $25, and that includes one of the signature cocktails that they will have.
No, it includes a glass of Vuv.
Oh, and then
The cocktails will. So you get a complimentary glass of champagne when you arrive, and then the cocktails will be.
Oh, there you
sold
go.
From there,
there you go. So one cocktail glass of Vuv, and then one of the other delectable cocktails they have there as well.
Nice.
I want to. I posted a little bit earlier about this Harvey Weinstein. Actually, I posted last week. The stories that are coming out from Hollywood are so icky. But yet, I think a lot of women go, yeah, I could see that. I mean, Esmeralda, that seems to be what a lot of women are. I think that's our reaction. Like, you're like, yeah, I could see that. And men are like, I can't believe that no one talked about this before or didn't do anything or didn't say anything. That seems to be what guys are coming from.
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot. It's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, that's been happening.
I feel like Rusty, like you've seen this happen. Like, you're not surprised by this.
I mean, restaurants are just incestuous to begin with. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just always young people. There's a lot of quick money involved. And like, I mean, just working in restaurants, you see managers definitely take advantage of the situation.
Yeah. I would say that's true too. I worked at the Cactus on Congress, if you're familiar. And then one of the managers, I had a tray of cocktails and I was like, you know what? I don't need the tray. I hated using trays. I have bad wrists. And so I felt like I could carry them all like in my arm. Okay. And so I had them all lined up and I went to go grab the other one and the manager picked it up before I could and I had a shirt pocket and he put it in my breast pocket and started rubbing it against my boob. And he's like, how's that feel? Cooling you off? Like that kind of thing.
Oh,
and I was
gosh.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and you want your job and you just go deliver the beers and carry on. That's Michael, I feel like your neck muscles are shortening. You're like, I can't.
Yeah,
I don't know how much
really
more
wrong.
How much of this I can hear anymore.
Seems par for the course.
Yeah, that was. I mean, and the thing is, too, as a waitress, and in the restaurant industry, it's not the problem. Is though, it's not just the management. It's the customers.
It's everything.
The things that customers say to women,
Well, I didn't know until I worked in Andersonville.
Yeah.
And I started getting hit on pretty aggressively. And, like, I walked away from that bartending gig being like, I feel so much worse for every female bartender I've ever worked with. Because, like, these dudes.
Aggressive.
The compliment made me feel great, of course.
Yeah.
But, like, it was aggressive. They do not hold back. And I was just like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I've had a job where somebody who was very aggressive with all the women, like, would give them shoulder rubs, would always greet them with a kiss on the lips, and would always talk about their bodies and say things about them. When he left the job, a lot of people felt relieved, but one woman said, "I kind of miss it. I mean, he made me feel pretty. He always told me I was pretty." I mean, like, it's the psychology that develops for some people. And I remember, like, one woman who was in higher position in management, like, tried to, you know, she said, you know, well, I know I told him about it. And I said, you know, why don't you tell a woman that she's smart first? And you're like, you're not really seeing this is systematically really destroying people's psychology everywhere.
Yeah.
So one of the problems that also is glaring in this situation, because right away when the story broke, it was also the other part of the headline was, you know, that Harvey Weinstein was a substantial contributor to Democrats across the country. And I turned to my friend, I was in Los Angeles, and I was like, they all need to write those checks to an organization that supports women's issues, whether it's domestic violence or sexual harassment, sexual aggression attacks. All that money needs to go somewhere else, and they need to come out right away and stand up for the women who were sexually assaulted and harassed, and not only denounce Harvey Weinstein, but to say that they, you know, whatever it is, whatever your crisis communications expert tells you to say, or whatever words that you genuinely find, say something. But now it's 4 days later. I mean, Esmeralda, don't you think that if Democrats really want to have them, if they think that they're the moral party, then step up right away and say something. Don't wait 4 days and decide, you know, the temperature's right or I can afford this.
Right. I think, the fact that there is silence speaks louder than words.
Yeah. And that's that story that you posted about Russell Crowe and Matt Damon. Like, Matt Damon and Russell Crowe allegedly tried to help squash a story in 2004. There were many times when reporters and journalists were trying to get this story out there.
Yeah.
And there were various reasons, whether it was someone would call them and say, don't do this, or someone would threaten them as far as their job went or other ways. And apparently Matt Damon and Russell Crowe got involved and helped kill a story in 2004. And Matt Damon today is saying it's not true.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that because there were so many rumors, and that, you know, that show business is not the kind of thing. We don't have an HR department. We don't have something where we can.
I've never gotten that far. No, where there's an HR department.
But I mean, like, in show business, like, nothing is fair to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, if you're not the right weight or the right height or the right ethnicity or the right beauty type for the screen, like, there's, you can't.
But that doesn't make it right. Like, that's like the hiring this role thing. That's not like you can treat people like meat.
Right. But in Hollywood, people are meat. That's exactly part of it.
And I don't believe Matt Damon for a second, especially with all that stuff.
When he was mansplaining. Remember when he said that I don't have to be a woman to understand? I mean, like, he has his own words to go back to on that project. Wasn't it the Greenlight project when a woman had it?
But he's such a nice guy.
Ugh. Yeah, no. No, you know,
him and
like,
his stupid friend Ben Affleck.
Yeah, no, you're right. Their silence speaks.
Don't judge Ben based off of Matt's.
He's not really Batman, just so you know.
Well, I'm judging him on other things he's done.
That's fine.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Do you have any thoughts on this? Do you think that Democrats needed to give the money back sooner, that they should have come out more vocally? And I honestly, you know, we're going to find out more stories about, oh, yeah, I knew about it, but I was afraid to say anything. You know, or have you seen someone sexually harassed at work and not wanted to say something? Because I really don't know of many success stories as far as like coming out and saying something and standing up for yourself, aside from like Fox News. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it has to be big enough that there's like a financial concern.
Right.
Like for anyone to hear about it, because otherwise. And I mean, with the number of times this story talks about this hush money, like it's
keeps happening.
Right. And then, that was the other thing, is some of the hush money, like Rose McGowan, wasn't it like, it was like $180,000, and all the women at Fox were getting millions of dollars.
What?
Oh, yeah. That's it's remarkable. It's scary and shocking to a lot of people. But I'm not surprised. And I don't know what this means for people in the workplace. I hope it means that women can say something. But is there protection for them? Because, you know.
Well, there should be, like, legally, there should be protect. Like, I don't know exactly what those laws are, but
yeah, I don't know what the protection is. I don't know what the path forward is for people to go, hey, this is not okay to treat me this way. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Michael Palasak, who is performing at the Zanies on Wells through Sunday. They have shows Wednesday, Thursday at 8:30. Friday at 8:30 and 10:30, Saturday 7, 9, and 11:15, and Sunday at 8:30. So there's no reason for you to miss a show, really. You've got
I mean, yeah, I'm here for you.
You certainly are.
Yeah.
And you can go to zanies.com for more ticket information, and you can watch a clip of Michael there. They always have our clips online. Yeah. And also joining him will be Jim Flanagan, mm-hmm. hosting the show. Always does a great job, too. We have Rusty Thrall, who is the head bartender at Conrad Chicago. They have a great event coming up on October 28th. It's their Game of Thrones Halloween Bash. Go to eventbrite.com for ticket information. And there'll be a complimentary glass of Vouv. Ooh, yeah. Did I get it?
Nailed it.
Yeah. It was a hesitation. I didn't really commit to it. And again, that's going to be at the Conrad Chicago rooftop. And that's at 101 Erie?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's a really...
Right at Rush.
Oh my God, such a fun night. That'll be a great time. And what other events have you guys had that you just were like, I love my job.
Oh man. I mean, we participate in basically all of the major events going on. We just had some people at like Koshan 555, which was this like big pork festival. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be at like a Yelp event. Not even 100% sure where I'm going, but we're doing like a Yelp cocktail contest.
Sure.
And then, I mean, throughout the summer, they just had, it was just always crowded. Beautiful rooftop up there, and we have a lot of things going on.
I love that. And we were talking. I know we have a texter in response to our conversation about Harvey Weinstein and the fact that all these stories are coming out. We mentioned Ashley Judd has had a lot to say. Rose McGowan, Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow, Meryl Streep has issued a statement. Donna Karan. Esmeralda, this was fun to see, wasn't it? Donna Karan said that it's their fault and they shouldn't address that way. Yeah.
Well, I'm not buying any of her Macy's brand.
Yeah. Well,
sunglasses.
Here's the thing. You know, maybe this is why she always wears black. Why make a statement when you can just maintain the status quo? And that's the thing, is that that's what we do, is, you know, a lot of us stay quiet and because it's out of self-preservation. We don't want to say anything because we want to keep our jobs. We want to stay in the careers that we, because it can be a career ender for people to come forward and say, you know, that this happened to me on the job. Right.
And speaking out from the perspective as like the onlooker, you don't know. Obviously, the person who's doing this is in the position of power. So if you're even watching this happen and you're like, OK, well, I don't want to lose my job either.
I've never cared enough about my job to let that bother. I don't know. It just seems like wrong. Like, it just seems like that's why the police are there.
the criminal charges come so fast.
I know, but you can't call the police on, you know, someone said something inappropriate to me on the job. I mean, it's entirely a hire an attorney situation.
Yeah. That's not a crime to sexually harass somebody?
To say something like that? Yeah. No, I don't think you can't call the police if someone.
Freedom of speech is not threatening.
It's not, yeah. It's,
but
it's
still harassment.
It's in the workplace. If it's in the workplace, it's a legal thing in the courts for a lawyer and for HR to deal with as far as the atmosphere and the workplace. But as far as calling a police officer, I mean,
oh, really?
And then it's a he said, she said on the spot.
No, I know it's a he said, she said, but
I guess many things.
If you get it out there. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I don't know. Can you imagine filing a police report, Esmeralda, on somebody who said something sexually provocative?
I couldn't even imagine what the other person would say.
Man, can you imagine the amount of paperwork the police department would have if everybody filed a complaint every single time someone said something sexually? Yeah, we can't do it.
Well, I mean, saying something, but like if someone physically touches in a way, that seems to be like that.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's 100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt
but
about
even
that.
Then there's issues because if it happened a while ago, if there's no evidence, again, it goes back to he said, she said.
And women often feel ashamed. And it's hard because when you put yourself out there, there's questions like, well, what were you wearing? You know, what happened beforehand? How many drinks did you have?
Well, I don't think the police would ask those questions.
Yeah, they would.
They would ask what you were wearing.
Yeah.
If they're going to bring charges against someone, they need to get the information.
All the information. Michael, what kind of text are we getting? Or at least what the text is that... has popped up.
All right. So we were talking about how everyone is being affected and the time that it takes to take to mention it publicly. And we had the texter from the 630 mention that it took the Obamas 5 days to condemn Weinstein.
I can't believe that. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous that it took the Obamas that long, 5 days. And he was a significant contributor to the Democrats, including his campaign when he was running for re-election. So, I mean, we get mad about, people get mad about the president not coming out and denouncing Nazis. And we hear about decades of abuse, sexual abuse, that Harvey Weinstein has exacted on young women throughout their careers. And the Obamas take 5 days. The Democrats all, I mean, like, it shouldn't take 5 days.
But I think on the other side with the Obamas, like, I mean, yeah, you want to come out and speak out against this awful thing, but Obama's not our president anymore. Like,
right.
This isn't the person that we need to be. Like gauging,
Well, who's that? And that leads me to another question: What's the leadership in the Democratic Party? Who comes out and says anything, right?
Schumer's the only person that you hear about right now,
and I haven't heard. We haven't heard from him. I mean,
he's got shady friends, though. You know, right. He's got way more.
Right. That's the thing. They're like, don't get involved in this. I guess Mayor Rahm Emanuel has said that he will be donating his money that he received from Harvey Weinstein. And again, that was today. Where were they on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
Well, Monday was Columbus Day, so maybe they weren't working.
So the newspapers were closed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is an immediate thing. This is something where you go, this is appalling. This is disgusting. I'm appalled with the fact that I'm even associated in any way, that we are even anybody, the people that aligned ourselves with him, made public appearances. He's on a dais with Michelle Obama.
There's also the notion nowadays where everyone wants to get it, you know, you got to make a statement. And we see with like the different people who are being accused of these crimes that like didn't really commit them. And after like the Boston bombing, like everyone on the internet knew it was this guy. And I think there is at least this, not this case. This is a terrible case of what happened. But like there is a point I think the public should be allowed to like take a second and figure out the facts before everything. Right. Everyone has to jump into it.
The avalanche on this one, though, was quick and it was swift, and they should have been at the head of this, going, hey, you know, we know that we are, you know, we are publicly linked together with Harvey Weinstein. He's been at many of our appearances. He's been financially propping up some of our campaigns, and we should we denounce him and are disgusted by the fact that we have any connection with him now.
And like you said, it was a known secret.
That's the other thing too.
So then that throws it all out,
right? And who knows how many years they decided it was worth it. People had along the way, the women who put up with it, the candidates who took the money. If they knew, they decided it was worth it. It was the poison pill they were willing to swallow to advance their own careers.
I didn't know about it.
It wasn't accusing you of it. Wasn't accusing you of anything. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Really enjoying my guest in the studio. We have Michael Palasek. He's performing at the Zanies on Wells through Sunday. Go to zanies.com for more information. And he's also appearing with comedian Jim Flanagan. This is a great show. You know what? You need to go out and have a laugh. It's healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's scientifically, medically proven that laughing is good for your heart, for your soul, for your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
Even just like, you know what? Fake smiling is actually good for your brain chemistry.
Yeah, because it
it releases a
Superman stance.
Exactly. Oh, that's
smile.
Right.
Great every day.
And I creep people out when I do it. That's fine. That's also Rusty Thrall in the studio with us. He's the head bartender at the Conrad Chicago. They have an amazing event coming up on October 28th. On their rooftop, they are going to be hosting a Halloween bash, a Game of Thrones Halloween bash. Go to eventbrite.com for ticket information. We've been talking about Harvey Weinstein and a lot of different issues this brings up in the workplace and politically, actually, for people across the country. We have Andrew on the line. Hey, Andrew, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm very well. Good to hear from you. Where are you calling from right now?
I'm in Alabama. You know who I am. I sent you a card about a year and a half ago about you being a bright light in a dark night.
I have that in my drawer right next to me, as a matter of fact. You remember that you sent that to me? I opened that the day after somebody had called me the C word and told me to go crawl in a hole and die. And I got I'm not kidding. I got that card the very next day. And it was a very sweet card, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Well, so anyhow, here's what I am thinking about Democrats, Obama or whatever, and the Weinstein money. They don't want that money. They don't want anything to do with it. But on the other hand, this is a tip of an iceberg, not only with Weinstein, but other people.
Yep.
And before the Democrats, Obamas, et cetera, come out and say and do something, they have to realize that they are now going to set a precedent, and more shoes are going to drop, not only out of Weinstein, but throughout Hollywood and entertainment industry. So they want to make sure how they say things and how it's presented, not only, you know, in this case, but going forward. Am I making any sense?
You are, absolutely, because how far does this reach? How many more despicable human beings are there that contribute to their campaigns? And it's the same is true for Republicans, for anybody, any candidate who receives money. But is it going to be a higher profile? Is the microscope going to be on someone like Harvey Weinstein much more intensely than a corporation that has nefarious practices? Are we, you know, it's not going to be really looked at this way.
And that is why I think that they're taking their time before deciding exactly how they're going to approach it.
Right.
They want to make sure that they're not pulling the trigger too quick and boom, something else happens and they have to come out and make another statement.
Right.
So, you know, while it's disgusting and all of that, there's no big rush to make a statement, but you do have to say something sooner or later.
Yeah. Well,
and keep in mind, it was only Sunday night that Weinstein got fired. In other words, that was a culmination of the findings within his own company. And here we are, what, about 48 hours later, and
right.
People are saying not
48.
I am a quick revenge girl, Andrew. You know that about me. I want something to be done swiftly. But you're right. I guess there should be some measured response and take a look at the bigger picture.
I'm surprised that boyfriends, husbands, fathers of a lot of those actresses haven't met with Harvey in a back alley.
Well, he's that powerful, though.
I guess there were reports that Brad Pitt really stood up for
Angelina Jolie,
Gwyneth Paltrow, like back in the day. He like got and was like, "Don't ever."
Yeah, and so did Emma Thompson. Apparently, on the set of the
English Patient.
No, not the English Patient. It was another one, The Remains of the Day. And there was an actress that and the woman who ended up playing Agent Carter in the Avengers movies.
Oh.
And he said that he was watching the dailies and she looked like a fat pig on the screen and she needed to stop eating. And Emma Thompson basically said, "I will walk off this set."
Yeah.
If you talk to her like that again.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what you need, more people like that, Andrew, right?
Well, yeah. But like I said, this is not over. Harvey's all done with for a while, but I think you're going to begin to hear a flood of other stories coming out.
I agree.
And so that's why the people didn't want to respond in a rash reaction. They wanted to make sure how we present this and make that a precedent for how they're going to go forward when more shoes drop.
Yeah, now it's also, I mean, I don't know how you even vet money you're getting at that rate, right? I mean, are you then more cautious about where money is coming from? Is anybody cautious, or do they just take checks? Because that's one of the problems that we have in this country is, like, where the money comes from, whether it's corporations or millionaires or billionaires.
But also just thinking from this past summer, like, we've looked at Fox News, we've looked at Uber going through these same things. Like, this is just, society's just changing its opinion on how we allow people to do these things. And, you know, obviously not enough people are stepping up right now, but clearly people are standing up to this blatant sexual harassment.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Andrew, it's wonderful to hear from you. Thank you again for that wonderful card, which I do keep with me. I needed that day. It was like, it was such a strange thing to get your card the day after someone told me to go kill myself. So thank you.
You do well. Take care of yourself.
Thank
have
you.
A good show.
We will. Thank you. Have a good night, sir. That really is one of my favorite cards. I have it right here. I keep it in this drawer. And I wonder. I mean, you mentioned Uber and what was the other one?
Fox News.
And Fox News.
Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly ousted.
Are there effects for women who are working in places that are not at a restaurant or at a grocery store or in a law office? You know, the daily assaults that they receive at the under powerful people, you know, I don't know if it transcends, if it translates.
I mean, I think we all heard this situation and we all were just like, we've seen that. Everyone, apparently, but one person here was like, I've seen this happen.
I know. I feel badly that Michael's finding out, like, the people he knows. I mean, I know that you and
dream world,
your girlfriend, I don't know if she's ever talked about it or.
Well, I think, like, I can understand that it happens and I can see the situation where stuff like that happens, but to imagine that other people would allow this to happen, like, it seems like everything else that's been covered, but it seems like such an egregious crime by those people as well. Even if they were afraid they're going to lose their jobs or whatever, it's still like, it's good that it's all coming out.
Well, and I think, Esmeralda, don't you think it's a lot of like, oh, that's just how he is, or he's just boisterous, or you know how he's harmless, he's just goofing around. Right?
Oh, that's always the worst.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I didn't know sexual harassment was goofing
around. Yeah. Sexual harassment. Like, you can't do, like, you legally can't do that stuff.
And then the sort of willful silence on the part of everybody kind of it compounds it. And if no one's going to step up for each other, I don't know. You know? And the idea that Harvey Weinstein, when the story first was coming out, his defense was, I was raised at a different time. You know what? Being a pig was always bad. Yeah. You know, whether or not more people were doing it and less women were speaking out, it is really not the point. It's like, you know, I was watching John Oliver, and he did a great segment on the Confederacy and talking about slavery. And, you know, we've gotten into these arguments about all those things, too. But there were people who just flat out knew that owning a person was wrong, and other people who went, no, this is how I live. Right. And the people who owned a person were wrong. Yeah. Fine. It was a time period or whatever. It was still wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the wrong side of humanity, and it's embarrassing and it's painful. They owned people.
Yeah.
Right. So sexually harassing a woman, while it might have been more culturally acceptable or expected even, never made it okay.
Well, and from my perspective, like, well, how do I make sure then there's things that I do that support companies that, like, there's sweatshops, there's like Apple has factories, and like I have an iPhone and all the, and like there are people. Louis C.K. is a great bit on his last special about how, like, we'll ruin someone else's life for something to be great here, and that's kind of what you had to do with all the stuff, and that's sad, but that's how we're all responsible.
Willful ignorance. Yeah. It's because it's more comfortable. It's painful to admit that something's wrong.
And it's easier to make iPhones in China, where you can treat people differently.
And we can get them for $600 instead of $3,600.
Yeah,
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Or now $1,000.
I would pay $3,600 so someone didn't have to, like, have a horrible life.
We say that, but...
I don't know.
I don't have kids. I have money.
Lucky you.
That's wild. We should make that your campaign. I'm willing to pay $3,600 for someone not to die.
So everyone can work at a good Apple factory. That they don't want to jump out the window.
How much are you willing to pay for a phone so someone isn't dying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think I'd have a phone if it came to that. I think phones would get so expensive.
I don't know. We don't look at things like that way. Yeah. Like, how much am I willing to pay for,
like,
this?
Like, clothes. Like, how do you... like
produce.
Yeah, produce.
Know?
Yeah.
If for someone to have...
Fair trade.
Yeah.
I try to buy fair trade.
I don't think that we're not there. It's easier to just buy things not knowing where they came from or how it happened.
You got to look for it.
I used to try to buy things that were made in the United States. You know how hard that is?
Yeah.
There's like one TV manufacturer, I think, left.
Who's left?
At this point, they're probably gone.
No.
Maybe.
Got them.
They didn't work out. But like, there was like a company making flat screens in the U.S. and they cost like three times as much.
Yeah.
And we still don't even know if people didn't die making
those.
We
don't even know
the name. Yeah.
We don't even know.
No, people.
Just kind of stuck with me.
People always die.
People always die.
No, like big buildings and stuff. Like, you see a stadium get built, it's like, oh, someone might have gotten really hurt building that thing.
Wow, you really think things through.
Yeah,
that's gotta be exhausting.
It's a dark world.
Well, I don't try to go there, but you guys.
That's why you're a comic. Though.
I mean, yeah. And if we're talking about how are we, like, if someone gave me a lot of money, like, we've done shows for groups that probably aren't just great groups of people, and I've taken their money because I feel like I earned, like, they gave me money to laugh, but they're probably not good people. Or like, I make money because people get drunk.
That's true.
I mean, I live off of the alcohol industry, and I don't think people make a good... Those aren't good decisions.
A little bit closer.
That's not a good industry.
That's one of the things that I've told people is that like when I have the opportunity to maybe give friends a pair of tickets to Zany's or to another comedy club, they're like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, well, no, don't, I mean, like, it's about the, you know, it's about being in the building and buying cocktails and their two-drink minimum and things like that.
There are desserts, too, but like you were saying, sugar now is bad. It's like...
Well, I've always thought too.
I'm
like,
so depressed now.
I've worked in
pretty depressed with Patty Vasquez. Jeez,
you guys got anything else you want me to rain on your
before
brain?
Before everyone just goes to sleep.
But no, like, I've always felt that it was awkward because, like, as a bartender, you take all this training for, like, knowing when someone's had too much.
Yeah.
But like, I've had someone sit down and, like, order two entrees that didn't need two entrees, and like, legally, should I be in a place where I'm like, I think we've had enough here? Like, desserts available here, here, and here, but.
Well,
You may not have dessert.
You actually mentioned something briefly about knowing when someone's been overserved.
Yeah.
I'm curious, and this is just something I want to mention. I remember I was getting out of an event, and the woman in front of me who was getting her car from the valet clearly should not have had her hands on a steering wheel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the valet just, like, you know, I mean, like, they're, I mean, th- that's... that's a point of saving someone's life, is a valet going, you know what, let me get you an Uber.
And not that lady's, the other people that she can hit.
Yeah. Oh, everybody. I've been saying, saving her life, saving the lives of, around them.
Yeah.
Like, that's even more immediate than knowing someone at your bar is sitting there and has too much to drink. But, like, actually physically turning over a car and sending someone on the road when clearly they, I mean, they're, like, stumbling, like, holding onto the top of the car, falling into the car.
We got to train our valets.
What?
they need more liability. Yeah. I have the liability.
Why aren't the valet? I mean, that seems that's like true. They're not serving it, but someone's given their car to them.
Yeah.
But I mean, legally, I guess it's their property. So what, you know, what are the laws there? I made you more depressed. More after this on 720 WGN. Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me. Yeah. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's been so much fun hanging out with comedian Michael Palasek, who is at Zany's all week through Sunday.
Yeah.
Go to Zany's.com for ticket information. He'll be there headlining along with Zany's MC for the month, Jim Flanagan. Yeah. And we have in studio with us Rusty Thorell, who is the head bartender at the Conrad Chicago. And on October 28th, they have their Game of Thrones-themed Halloween bash. Go to Eventbrite.com for ticket information. It's on their rooftop. It's going to be a blast. And I'm trying to think if I'm going to... I don't know Game of Thrones, but it sounds like something really fun to do.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of fun.
I like that.
Just the people watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me something good, Michael.
Baseball playoffs. I love baseball. And
every
night. Like, there's like two games on tomorrow and whatever. Yeah.
What, who's playing besides the Cubs and the Nationals?
The Indians-Yankees game 5.
What?
I was born in Cleveland.
What?
Yeah.
What time is that game tomorrow?
That's
at
7.
Okay.
So,
you got an afternoon game with the Cubs.
Watch the first part and then go to my show.
I love... Will they have the DirecTV at the Zanies upstairs?
Oh, yeah. I'll be able to watch it.
You'll be fine. Yeah. How about you, Rusty? What's your something good?
My mom's birthday is coming up soon, and my sister and I have planned out something. She's not listening now, obviously, but it's a surprise, so she'll be very excited.
Oh, you're a good son.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. You can't tell Cindy. You can't tell us what to.
I'll tell you when these lights turn off.
That's fine.
She'll be excited.
And what you told me off the air you were going to say is that our teams are playing in the playoffs tomorrow. One of us is going to be happy tomorrow.
Washington Nationals. Yeah. Let's on WGN. It feels great to support the Nationals.
Yeah, you got that DC hat.
Came in rocking.
I know. I saw the DC hat in the green room. I'm like, so where are you from?
Alternate Nationals.
Where are you from? That's why something good too is getting to watch the Cubs game tomorrow.
Really? Because do you get to go?
I don't know. I'm gonna be in the area and see if we can score some tomorrow. Cool. I mean, I went to one playoff game during our World Series chase last year, and it was the game that we lost against the Dodgers. So I don't know that I would feel comfortable being in the park again because I might be bad luck.
No, you're not bad luck.
I don't know.
I saw some of those games. You were not the bad luck.
You broke the curse.
I was in LA last week and I was wearing a Cubs shirt and someone said, we're happy you won, but not that happy. It's just mostly that we felt sorry for you. I thought that was funny. Oh, and Jasmine's on the line to tell us something good. Jasmine, okay, my question is...
I can't sleep.
I was going to say, why are you up so late? That's not your something good.
And besides, today the sophomores and juniors are taking the practice SATs, so seniors really don't have to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you kind of get a bye. Your Wednesday is, you're not really doing much work. Are they taking over the classrooms?
Yeah, they have to, like, use the rooms for the testing.
Okay.
My something good was, I have my Halloween costumes picked out, but I'm trying to decide.
Okay.
I'm either going to be SpongeBob or a stereotypical disco dancer from the late 70s.
There's something fun and funky about being something like sort of extravagant and eccentric about being a 70s disco dancer.
But, yeah, I checked out some of those costumes and they're so bad, but so cool.
Exactly. Yeah. They're so bad, they're fun. Like, what are you thinking? Like, are you going
to... Like, with the whole bell-bottoms and stuff.
Like, really, like, bright colors, very loud patterns, maybe?
It's my last year dressing up in high school, so I feel like I got to, you know, go out kind of big.
Yeah, you got to go out with a bang. I like that. Do they let you dress up in high school for Halloween?
Yeah, we get to dress up, just no masks or anything.
That's cool. I love that. And what day what day does Halloween fall on this year? Is it a Monday?
It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah. All right.
Is Esmeralda there?
Esmeralda?
Yes.
Do you think you could ask Nick D if he had any advice on how to how to dress for this in the 70s?
I'm sure he'll have plenty of advice.
Well, if you wouldn't mind asking.
Yeah. For sure.
I think that's great. And here's the thing is that I have a feeling that Nick was still kind of a baseball hat and T-shirt and Converse kind of guy in the 70s.
Oh, you don't think he went bell-bottoms and sequins and...
Oh, come on. If there were pictures of Nick D in sequence, I would need to own those, Esmeralda. That's something. That would be worth money right there. I don't know. There's got to be some, you got to figure there's going to be at least some Halloween pictures of Nick D somewhere. I have to start finding some of Nick D's friends from high school.
I hope you guys all have a good weekend. Go Cubs. Hopefully
go Cubs.
It doesn't rain.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you so much, Jasmine. My something good is that you called in tonight. Have a great rest of your week, okay?
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye. More after this on 720 WGN.